In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. So a week from today is December 25th, whether you call it Christmas or don't call it Christmas, okay? December 25th, Christmas, presents, okay? And everyone is presents, and presents are nice, and presents in the air, and shopping, and presents, and presents, and presents. Here's the thing about presents. No matter how big or how little, how old or how young, everyone loves to get presents. And don't lie and say that you don't, because everyone knows they love to get presents. But I learned something about presents. Getting a good present is great. Something that you need, something that you want, something great. But getting a bad present stinks. Like when you're expecting and you're hoping and you're wanting and you're wishing, and then you get, like, it's almost better almost to receive no gift at all. Like what I'm about to say, please don't offend anybody here who works for our school here, okay? Please don't be offended. I love everyone. Every year we have a school staff party. And at the staff party, we do this thing called White Elephant, okay? And maybe you've done it at your staff parties, whatever, which is basically you bring some piece of junk from your house that you don't want, okay, and you wrap it up and you give it to someone else. So I don't know what's wrong with me. Every year I go to this party thinking like, wow, I'm going to end up with something. Like I'm going to end up with a new TV or a new phone or a new something. Every time I end up with like an oven mitt, okay, or thermal socks or some dumb little picture to put somewhere that no one wants. And getting a bad present is worse than getting no present sometimes, right? Today, Virgin Mary got a present from God. God sent his messenger, Archangel Gabriel, and he said, go to this very special lady. It's a very special lady. The world's never seen a lady this special. And because she's so special, I'm going to give her a great gift. The gift that no one else in the world has ever, this isn't a white elephant, this is special. An angel comes to her and says, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth the son and shall call his name Jesus. Angel comes and says, I got a great present for you. What's the present? You get Jesus, Son of God. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. The gift that's going to bring joy to millions and millions and billions of people for all generations. A gift that so many people are going to rejoice at the birth of this, at the receiving of this gift. But is there more to the gift? Is there more to the gift than meets the eye? Like, yes, it's a gift that brings joy. But put yourself in Virgin Mary's shoes, because while that same gift brought so much joy to us and to so many others, the same gift, which she received with joy as well, brought her a lot of pain in life, didn't it? This gift brought her a lot of discomfort. This gift messed up maybe what she had thought that maybe her life would end up looking like one day. You see, I read this in a book several years ago, and it changed my perspective on so much. You know, we talk about the Holy Spirit as a comforter. Well, this author was saying about the Holy Spirit is the comforter. He is the comforter. But oftentimes, he appears as the discomforter. And oftentimes, even though he comes as the comforter, the appearance, the shell that he comes in, is that of discomfort. And I think that's what happened here for Virgin Mary. Because she was living her life, like especially go back and again, put yourself in her shoes. Like she wasn't someone who was like living far away from God, like someone who's far away and like living the wrong life. Okay, God should come and bring pain in their life so that they get turned around, okay, or they repent. But that's not Virgin Mary. Like Virgin Mary, if we didn't have this little episode that we had here today, she'd still be one of the greatest people to ever walk this earth, right? Like, we'd still say about Virgin Mary that she was a saint. We'd still say she was, like, she had dedicated her life to live in the temple. She wasn't living a wrong life. She wasn't living a bad life. She'd given everything that she had, given her whole life, serve God, study the scriptures, do whatever she's told, already been a life of obedience. Like, she was living a good life. She was living a good life. But that's not what God wanted for her. God had a better gift for her. He didn't want her to have a good life. He wanted her to have a great life. He didn't want her to be a saint. He wanted her to be Theotokos, pride of mankind, who, like we say, that her glory shines brighter than the sun and the moon. She was shining as a beautiful light, but he said, no, I want this. As St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, he raises up from glory to glory. And we say, oh, that's great. He says, yeah, well, this is even better. Say, oh, that's great. Oh, yeah. And that's exactly what he did with Virgin Mary right here. But the gift that he used to get her there was not an easy gift. It was not an easy gift. And this gift was going to bring a lot of pain and discomfort and difficulty into her life. But he brought it because he wanted to lift her up even higher. Think about it like if I give you a scholarship to a university. Let's say Harvard University. I say, hey, you know what? They're not paying attention. I'll sneak you in. You know what I mean? Like the guy at the admissions fell asleep. He didn't recognize that you don't belong. I'll sneak you in. And I'll pay the bill. You go free, Harvard, on me. No one's going to notice. That's a good gift. Isn't that a nice gift? It's a nice gift. But it's going to make your life miserable. Because you're going to have to start studying. You have to start staying up late at night. You have to wake up early in the morning. You have to start going to class. You have to get up off the TV, off the couch, off watching the TV, and start to do some stuff. That's a great gift. That's going to make your life this. But it's also going to cause some pain in the meantime. Here's our life lesson for today. Is that God wants this clicker to work at some point in time. A little help me out in the sound room right there. Is that God uses pain and discomfort, kind of like the kind I'm in right now, uses pain and discomfort. Go tell them back there to help me out, please. Thank you. God uses pain and discomfort. They're working really hard. They're really focused. That's why God uses pain and discomfort to bless our lives. That's what the way God does it. When God wants to bless our lives and take us and give us something great, we want him to do it I wish that God blessed our lives through easy ways and through comfortable ways and through ways that made us happy and through ways that made life easy. But that's never the way. We were reading in the Acts of the Apostles today about Moses. And God said to Moses, think about Moses. Moses was an old man. He lived how many years of his life? And now he was 80 years old and he's ready to retire. Ready for easy life. Like, I served God. I did what I was supposed to do. Like, okay, like now life should be kind of tapering down. And God said to Moses, hey, Moses, you want me to bless you? Moses said, okay, God, sure. What are you going to do? Give me a day off? Give me another holiday? What are you going to do? Okay, you want to be blessed? Come with me. We're going to go back to Egypt. Who are you going to talk to? Egypt? You're going to talk to Pharaoh. And what's Pharaoh going to do? Pharaoh's going to try to kill you. And you're going to run around like a crazy person with these 2 million people trying to lead them to the promised land. And they're going to hate you and you're going to hate them. And your life is going to be miserable, Moses. Your life is going to be miserable. But it's going to be great, isn't it? That's how God works. Virgin Mary, all generations will call you blessed. Great. Son of God, fantastic. Power of the Most High, that's the best. But realize also, a sword is going to pierce your own heart. You're going to suffer. Mothers, watching your child suffer is worse than suffering. Okay? Like watching your child suffer. Watching your child get sick is worse than getting sick. You're going to suffer, St. Mary. And in addition, you're going to leave this room on cloud nine. You're going to go downstairs and say, hey, everybody, guess what? I'm pregnant. And guess what everyone's going to say? Oh, yeah, and I knew she was. And they're going to talk about you. And they're going to talk about you behind your back. And they're probably going to talk about you in front of your face. So much so that the Bible even says that when Joseph found out, like any normal husband, Joseph said, hey, wait a minute. Maybe I should consider leaving this lady. She's already cheated on me and she's not even married yet. This is going to bring you a tough life. People are going to talk about you. People are going to say. And especially when you considered that she was already living a good life. Like that's the part I just can't get around. It's not like she was living a lost life. She was already living a life better than everyone else. But that wasn't what God wanted. God wanted greater from her. Once upon a time, there was three frogs. And these three frogs wanted to run across the Beltway, 495. So these three frogs started off together over here. They said, we're going to run to the other side. And they're hop, hop, hopping along. One of the frogs, kind of a lazy frog. And that lazy frog is always like, slow down, guys. What's the rush? Chill out. Let's take a break. This lazy frog, as he's hopping along, gets stuck in a thing of mud. So he says, you know what? I'm tired. Y'all go without me. I'll catch up. I'm going to sit here and just rest for a little bit. So they say, hey, come. Hey, he's going to stay. So the other frogs are hop, hop, hopping along. A couple seconds later, the lazy fat frog zooms right by the other two frogs like 100 miles an hour. And he gets to the other side faster than them. So they get to the other side and say, hey, what happened, man? I thought you were relaxing over there. He said, oh, the situation changed. He said, what situation changed? He said, oh, there was an 18-wheeler coming. Once the 18-wheeler came, the situation changed. He wanted to go as fast as he could. I'm telling you, God sends 18-wheelers into our lives to get us to the other side. I'm telling you. God sends 18-wheelers into our lives because he knows we might not move otherwise. The gift Virgin Mary got today was a great blessing, but it was an 18-wheeler. Where's God trying to move us to? Like, God wants us to jump to, what's the other side? Like I said, Virgin Mary was already serving God. She's already praying, reading her Bible. Like, what more is there? She's already doing everything that she could possibly do. I'm already doing everything I could possibly do. So are you. We go to church on Sundays. Like, we're living a good life. Don't talk to me. Talk to the lost people out there, right? Where's God trying to move us to? I'll say the answer. Won't spend too much time on it because it's a big topic. His vision. Last weekend, we had the YAM retreat. We spent an entire weekend looking at God's vision for our lives. And after a weekend of studying it and praying about it, we realized we need a lot more time to discover God's vision for our lives. And we realized this is a big topic, but it's certainly a worthwhile topic. God's vision for your life is not what job you would do. It's much bigger. It's not what service you would do in the church. It's much bigger. God's vision for your life, like, yes, okay, my job, banker or accountant, or, you know, my dream is work for the government. There you go. I don't care what I do as long as it's for the government every other Friday off. That's the only thing that matters. Okay, that's great. And God wants you to have every other Friday off too. That's fantastic. But his vision is much bigger than every other Friday off. I'm going to serve in Sunday school, or I'm going to do the Orban, or I'm going to clean the toilets, or I'm going to... That's fantastic. That's the best thing in the whole wide world. But God's vision is much bigger for your life. God's vision for your life is that when you get to the end of it, when you get to the end of it, that you look back and you see, that's why I was put here. That's why I was created. I was created to do that. Virgin Mary was doing great stuff. Great stuff. But that's what she was created for. To bear the Son of God in her womb. To bring Christ into the world. That's the vision. That's the plan. And anything outside of that, while it may be good, is not God's vision. It's good. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying it's bad. Don't say that I said it's bad to teach Sunday school or work for the government. It's great. But God's vision? God wants, listen carefully to this, more from us and more for us. God wants more from us, and God wants more for us. And the two go hand in hand. God wants more from us. But the from us, the challenges, the difficulty, the pain, the discomfort, all that is because ultimately what God wants is more for us. The key to God's vision is the Holy Spirit. You're never going to find, that's why I'm saying God's vision's got to be more than government and Sunday school. It's got to be more. Because if it is, like you, Virgin Mary, if you'd have sat down, let's sit down and discuss. What's the best thing you want to do for God? What's the best thing that you want? You think she'd have come up with this? You think anyone would have said, how about virgin, have a baby, Son of God, Holy Spirit? How about that? Think anyone would have come up? Has to be the Holy Spirit that put it there. Your own thinking and your own dreams and your own goals, those are great. But that's from you. And that is the best human thing that you can think. That's great. But that's not God. And God's ways are above our ways, and his thinking is above our thinking. And God has a vision for your life that he, like, planted perfectly inside you. And I don't care how old you are or how young you are. Don't think that I'm talking to the young people or the old people. If you're young, I'm talking to you. If you're old, I'm talking to you. And God has a vision for your life. Let's take an example of Mother Teresa. Great lady. Mother Teresa, great lady. Well, Mother Teresa, she was a nun. She was consecrated fully to God. And she was serving God, and God put this thing inside her, like to go serve in India, let's say, in Calcutta. Okay, that's great. And everyone was against it. They said, no, you're already consecrated more than anyone else. You're already doing more than anyone else. Like, enough. Like, stop. But something inside her, no, more. I kept more and more and more and more and more. And Mother Teresa wasn't just being nun. Mother Teresa wasn't just being nun in India. Mother Teresa wasn't just being nun in Indian Calcutta. Mother Teresa wasn't just being nun in Indian Calcutta to the poor. It was to the poorest of the poor. To the poorest of the poorest of the poor. Because that was God's vision. God had more from her. And that took a lot. Don't be confused here. That took a lot of physical. That took an emotional. If you ever see one of the best movies you ever see, go see the movie about Mother Teresa. It's called Teresa. It came out like 3 or 4 years ago. That's the best movie. Can't watch that movie without crying. And you see the toll, not just the physical toll, but the emotional toll it took on her. As everyone said, no, why are you doing that? That's crazy. Said, that's God's vision for me. What do you want me to do? Why should I? Why should I knowingly pursue something that's going to bring pain and discomfort into my life? Aren't I better off staying in the temple, serve, easy life? Isn't that better? Moses, aren't I better off stay in the wilderness, just pray more, and just read more Bible, and just be nicer to the people that are around? Why back to Egypt and Pharaoh and noise? Like, why? Why not just play it safe, play it stable? Because as the angel told Virgin Mary, when the Lord calls you, he walks with you. And make no mistake about it. When the Lord calls you, he walks with you. And the default of that is that if he calls you and you don't answer, you might be walking alone. When the Lord calls you, he calls you to the path that he says, I'm walking down this path with you. What's the first thing that angel said to Virgin Mary? What's the first thing he said? He knocked on the window. He walks in. He says what? Rejoice, highly favored one, what? The Lord is with you. First thing he said. And it's understandable why he would say that. Okay? Like, a little bit later he says, do not be afraid. He says, do not be afraid. First thing he says is, Lord is with you, do not be afraid. Why? Because if you're sleeping tonight in your bed and you get a knock at the window and the window's open and an angel comes in, you are going to be very afraid. And you're going to think, what did I do? I must have messed up. And actually, if you look, go look at the times the Lord says, do not be afraid. And go look at, especially in the New Testament, the Gospels. When does Jesus say, do not be afraid? The disciples. When did he come and said, do not be afraid? When? One day they were out in a boat, middle of the night, kind of rainy, kind of windy, kind of wavy. Bible says that the boat was tossed to and fro by the waves. And if it wasn't scared enough and they were going to die right there, then all of a sudden, they look out in the middle of the ocean, and there comes the boogeyman right there walking on the water to come kill us and take us away and bury us in the ocean. They were terrified. What did Jesus say? Do not be afraid. Like, smile. Hey, I'm with you. Also after Easter, or after the resurrection, when the Lord rose from the dead, and he saw them, and they're in the room, and they're praying, and the guy who we saw died last week's coming through walls. Man, if you're sitting today having lunch, and your grandma who died last week comes through the wall, you're going to be afraid. He says, do not be afraid. Why? Because I'm with you. Do not be afraid. The Lord is with you. I'm telling you, whatever challenge is in front of you, yes, it's scary, and yes, it's uncomfortable, and yes, there'll be pain, and yes, but do not be afraid. The Lord is with you. That's what he told Virgin Mary. And she, as a young girl who had this news broken to her that she's pregnant, like, I don't know if we can, dads, you have a 17-year-old daughter, and I say, congratulations, she's pregnant. And they say, no, don't worry, it's from God. God told me, it's from God. That's not easy. He came to her and said, you're pregnant, son of God. This is great. But it's not going to be easy. I don't think when we read the gospel readings in the church, we're just supposed to read stories and nothing's supposed to happen. I believe when we read a story and we read something from the gospel, we're supposed to live it. That's supposed to be real. So today, Virgin Mary, knock at the door. May I enter? And I'm bringing some pain and some discomfort because I want more from you, but also more for you. I believe for us that today there should be a knock at your window. And that knock, messenger of God, saying, I want more for you, but it's going to require more from you. It's going to require some challenges, some obstacles. Yes, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to be with you, but realize there may be some speed bumps along the way. Where is God calling you to disrupt your life? And he's coming to say, just like he said to Virgin Mary, hey, Virgin Mary, this is the way you're living your life? Well, actually, I want this. We're going to take this. We're going to put it over here. We're going to put this instead. Where's he calling you to do that? That's not easy. For us, we would say, no, but Lord, I lived my whole life on this. I don't want this. I want this. Let's make this bigger. He says, no. I don't want this anymore. I want this. No, Lord. But see, this is all I'm used to. He says, I know, but that's okay. I want this. He says, no, Lord, but I don't know if I can. He says, no, don't worry. Rejoice, highly favored one. I'm with you. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. We're going to take this. We're going to set it over here. And we're going to go do this. And you're going to be great. Where's the Lord trying to disrupt your life, your comfort zone today? The formula that we saw in today's story is God comes with a gift of extreme discomfort. Virgin responded, extreme faith, extreme trust in the Lord. Result, extreme joy, extreme blessing. Fit yourself into this formula. Put yourself in the formula. Where do you fit in the formula here? Where are you at right now? Because I'm telling you, these stories that we're reading are not just stories. These stories is God coming to us and giving us the same message. In a couple weeks on January 7th, we're going to celebrate the greatest discomfort in the history of the universe, where God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, who lives in glory up in heaven, everything is perfect, decided to come down to this miserable planet. That he didn't do nothing wrong, and he came down and lived on this miserable planet. And we do wrong all the time, and we mess things up, and we can't even take this planet. And he came down, and he lived on this planet. The greatest discomfort ever, this is the greatest discomfort ever. But from that great discomfort came the greatest joy ever, and the greatest blessing ever, and the greatest gift ever, which is the gift that we celebrate, and the gift that we rejoice over for generations and generations and generations. Now God is challenging you. Step out that comfort zone. Take a step of faith. Trust me, the Lord is with you. And watch the blessing that he's going to pour on your life through it. Glory be to God forever. Amen.